Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and not going to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat,
okay,
eventually we
all
have
right,
to face
Joe,
the final demand,
right,
the ultimatum. And what then?
Okay.
When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We will run a full house. We have an explosion and we are defending and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
All right, everybody, how you doing? It's Joseph Gibson, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, 6:07 p.m. on the East Coast. All right, how's everybody doing out there tonight? Hopefully we got some supporters back here. Hopefully Mike from Wisconsin, I believe he might be listening tonight. I apologize for the show. We did not have a show on Sunday. Okay, I apologize for that, but, you know, too much going on, too many phone calls, family members that are sick, and you know, we need to do a show about, you know, people being healthy and everything. You know, are you what you eat, or are you what you don't eat? You know, so, you know, we need to get into that. We really do. We need to get into that. What's wrong with people nowadays? We're so in tune with what our doctor has to say to us. You know, you could live to be 95 years old and be in good health and be in good spirits. You know, what did I hear today? The best part of life, I mean, the most beautiful thing about life is when you die. You know, dying is the most beautiful part of life. Dying is the most beautiful part of life. And that's what someone said, actually, I was reading something. And that is actually true, you know, because it all depends what your faith is and what you believe in. And if you're scared of dying, you shouldn't be. I mean, if you ever driven by some churches, you'll see a sign up on some churches. You see it around here in the South a lot. Homecoming, Pastor so-and-so or John Smith, this guy, blah, blah, blah. You know what homecoming means? No, he's not coming home in the flesh. He's coming home to heaven. Okay? So you need to find out where you're going to go when you die. Don't you think that's something important that you should know about? Where are you going when you die? If you don't care, then that's fine too, you know. But you're going to die. You're going to. One way or the other, you know. Nobody's going to live forever, friends. Nobody. None of us are. we're all going to have to face the facts. And some of us do face the facts, and we become miserable when we get older. And we don't trust anybody, and we don't like the people around us. So what do? We go into our own little world where we're just tired, and we're sick and tired of everybody, and we don't want any visitors. We don't want anybody bothering us. We don't want anyone calling us. You know, I'm 80 years old. I'm sick and tired of the world. I'm sick and tired of my life. I'm in pain. And you know what? I don't want to be bothered with everybody's problems anymore. I'm tired of it. Nobody cares. You know? And if that's how you want to go out in life, then that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, if you're sick right now, perhaps some of my family, even within my own family, we have family members that are sick and they're on their way out. Whether you like it or not, you're on your way out. Can they reverse what's happening? No. You're not gonna stop Father Time. You're not going to stop it. Tell me something. Wouldn't you really want the last days of your life to be the happiest ever? Wouldn't you want that to be the happiest time of your life? Instead, you reflect back to when you were younger. Oh, we were young and free. You know, no, you weren't. You were actually pretty miserable. I think back to when I was a teenager, I was miserable. I wanted to go out and do things. I wanted to go out and do this. I wanted to go out and do that. I didn't want to be home by 8 o'clock at night. I wanted to hang out with my friends at the corner. So don't tell me the better years were when you were younger. They were. Don't tell me that. The better years are when you're older. Enjoy it. I mean, granted, if you're poor and you're an old man sitting in an alley with a dollar in your pocket and you're begging on the corner, yeah, of course. But I'm talking about if you're out there and you're 80 years old, and we've got people out there listening tonight that are 80, 85 years old that don't feel good. Granted, it sucks being unhealthy, doesn't it? It really does. Nobody likes being sick. Nobody likes being tired. But guess what? You don't got to worry about paying your electric bill like the younger people do. You don't have to worry about making money anymore. Your life's over. Sit back and enjoy what you have left. Enjoy it. If you're in pain, there are ways around that. But listen, we live in the information world, don't we? So instead of watching nonsense TV, why not look up how you can make yourself feel better? We've talked about this on this show. We've had guests on this show. We've had a supporter of this show, BitBanker, get on here and talk about how you can become more healthy. Okay, how you can enjoy your life a little bit better. I'm not telling you to kick your doctor to the curb and stop listening to what he has to say, but why not have a second opinion? Why not try different things to make you happy? And I'm watching people type in the chat room, yeah. Hey, if you're 80 years old, you want to go out and buy a 12-pack of beer and sit back at home, and if that's your thing, go do it. Go do it. You deserved it. You deserved it. You're 80-plus years old. You deserve whatever you want in life. And where is the family? Do you have family? You need to call them, kick them in the ass, and say, hey, where are you? I want your help, and I need your help. Otherwise, you know what? Don't try to sell my house when I die. You know what I mean? I'm sure people out there can relate. I'm sure you could. But, you know, we talk about this. You know, you got to be happy. You got to do what you want. You know, you talk about you're young and you're free, this and that, and you're free country, America. America's in shambles. But America's been in shambles for over 100 years now. Ever since the Federal Reserve was created, America's been in shambles. The only good time in America that I can remember through studying U.S. history is during the mid-1800s, after the Civil War. You know, during the industrial years. And even then, we had our problems. So I don't want to hear America, the big booms and blah, blah, blah. America has always been in trouble, and it's going to continue to be in trouble. Human government will not work. It's all about war and money. But that doesn't affect you as an individual in your home today. And that goes with the government today. Whatever the government does not affect you unless you are a part of that evil corporation. Dissect yourself from that corporation. Don't take part in that corporation. Yes, you have to use Federal Reserve notes to go out there and buy and sell. Yes. But listen, when you vote, your vote does not count. Donald Trump is not going to take care of you. Donald Trump cannot save you. Okay? Your congressman cannot save you. Your local senator cannot save you. Your local mayor cannot save you. Nobody can save you but yourself and what you believe in spiritually within yourself and how you live. We got people on here that talk about a revolution. A revolution. Listen, these people are never going to give up their money and their guns and their tanks and their missiles. The only way they'll give it up is if they kill everybody on the planet Earth, and before that happens, divine intervention will happen. Whether or not you believe in God or not, I don't care, but the fact of the matter is the proof is in the pudding. Someone will intervene. It's happened. No matter what man does throughout life, intervention is a definite, okay? I don't care if man walked on the moon. I don't believe man walked on the moon. I believe it was a big fat lie and it was a movie. If we walked on the moon in 1969, well, where the hell, why haven't we been back since? If man walked on the moon all those years ago, then why the hell hasn't he been back since? Was he told not to come back? You want to get into you want to talk about what's that crazy Coast to Coast? You want to be a radio show like Coast to Coast and start talking about ghosts and goblins flying around in the middle of the night? Do you want to talk about Area 52 or 57, whatever the hell it is, about the aliens that landed and the government's got them captured in the capsule someplace? Come on, guys. Come on, tell me something. Let's talk reality. Let's talk about your individual lives. Let's talk about your individual beliefs. You know, come on, man. And I see callers. I see you, my first caller. And we do have a phone line that's full tonight. Not as full as it always has been, but we got callers. And I will get to you after my introduction. Sorry if I'm boring some of you. I saw a couple people log out of the chat room, and I saw a couple people log out of Facebook. Hey, too bad. You don't like it? Don't tune in. Don't care. But you tuned in already, so that gives me a listener. Thank you. You know, jets, contrails are brainwashing us. Jets, contrails. No, the contrails are true. It's called aluminum barium monoxide. That's what they spray. Look it up. Geographic engineering. Look it up. They do spray aluminum barium monoxide in the atmosphere. It's called aluminum particles to reflect ozone. Okay? And they do that. They do. You can look it up. It's still there on the internet. At least it used to be a few years ago when I studied it first. And I'm talking to people in the chat room right now, folks that are on the phone line. They do spray in the air. They do spray. Okay? They spray aluminum, barium monoxide. Look it up. Chemical particles. Okay, aluminum particles, excuse me. And what they think they're doing is they're reflecting the ozone. But that aluminum comes down to the ground. That's why a lot of our soil is becoming toxic. And you can't grow natural heirloom plants anymore. Try planting a totally organic garden.
I tried it back in 2007. I planted everything organic from seed, water, to plant. And guess what? Those plants produce not one vegetable,
not one tomato, not one cucumber, not one cabbage plant survived. You want to know why? Because the soil is toxic. And that was the year, if you remember, and I know someone typed in the chat room right now, did you watch that airplane? And this person's from Greensboro. I'm not pointing them out. I'm not going to give names. But this person is in the Greensboro area. We had our hovercraft, a nice plane, fly around in circles for 1 week straight around our area. What was he doing? I was out working at that time as a landscaper. And I remember going to cash a check at Wells Fargo. And I had two employees with me at that time. And I said, look at that plane, buddy. That plane was spraying. They were spraying for mosquitoes. No, they weren't. They were spraying it. Their chemicals over Battleground Avenue and the Battleground Park area, because that's where they were having a big hun dig, or whatever. Well, whatever they were having going on at that time. But there was about 1,000 people there. And they did. They sprayed that entire plaza. But nobody was paying attention. You want to know why? Because they were looking at their cell phones. They were text messaging. OMG, TCBY, OMI. What's Julie doing tonight? She's screwing this guy? Yeah. You know, meanwhile, you're getting sprayed with chemicals, and you don't even know it. That's what this government does do. That's what this government does do to you. But you don't know what's going on. I just told you what to look up. That'll keep you buried. If you have the capability of looking something up like that, do it. That'll keep you buried for a couple weeks. And if you have any type of intelligence or know-how, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But other than that, if you're brainwashed to the point that you really believe your vote counts and you believe Donald Trump's going to work for you and we're going to fix the health care. The health care. And you think North Korea is going to nuke the United States, then shame on you. You dumbasses, if you're going to believe this, don't you remember Saddam Hussein? Didn't he have chemical weapons that were going to destroy the entire world? And where'd they find them? In a hole in Iraq with $750 million of U.S. money. Where the hell did he get that? Did he fly over to Vegas one weekend during the war without us knowing and win the slot machines? You stupid Americans! You dumbasses! You United States corporation citizens! Don't you know what the hell's going on? You don't know. You don't understand. You are a slave. You were born as a slave. Fact. Fact. For God's sake, we've done shows on this about the Republic, about how you don't have a constitution anymore. And we explained in detail, word for word, and you still don't get it. My tax dollars are paying for that black man to collect food stamps. That darn nigger, I hate black people. I hate those Mexicans. They're collecting food stamps. I'm paying for them. My tax dollars are paying for their food stamps. And meanwhile, I gotta pay for my groceries. No. You're paying for your grocery because you're a sucker, because you're going to work. What does job stand for? Just over broke, you dumbass. Go to school if you're so smart and learn thy ways and understand what the hell is going on. First caller, go ahead. I'm done with my introduction. Everyone else can speak out tonight if you want. Go ahead. 206, go ahead. I don't know who this is. Might be Tone. Hello?
Hey, Joseph, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. A little fired up tonight, as you could tell. But what's on your mind, Tone? Talk to me, brother.
Hey, I'm proud of what you said at the end. I don't agree with everything that you said, but you say go back to school. That's where we start off, and that's the best thing.
Okay, so what's on your mind, Tone? What's up? What do you want? Tone, I'm going to let you set the stage if you got the time to be with us on this show tonight.
No,
set the
you
stage
know what?
For
I really,
me. What's
you
up?
Said it. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm going to take the opposing position like I always do. So you figure it out, and I will debate you.
I agree with you 100%, because you do, and you do bring an interesting argument to the program. However, before Tone and I start going at it and start talking, remember, everyone has a chance to change the subject if they want. You can call in. I see people in the chat room. I see several guests. And we do have a chat room loaded tonight. All right, you need to call in at 657-383-0616, people on Facebook. You want to call me? Call. Press the number one, and I will put you on, okay? I will put you on live. You will not be edited. I do not put you into a little green room that they like to call it on Blog Talk Radio and say, what do you want to talk about? Who are you? No, you are 100% live. So anyone who wants to jump into the conversation tonight or just talk or bring up something, you need to press the number one now, okay? Or you can press it whenever you want, but I can't guarantee I'll get to you right away. And we do have phone lines that are – I see a couple people that usually do press the number one. I don't know why they're not pressing it tonight. Maybe they can't talk. I don't know. I keep scrolling up and down, but Tone – I am going to challenge you on a subject right now, and I want to see what maybe some of the old-timers out there want to talk about. I don't believe transgenders should be in the military. What's your opinion on that, Tone?
I think right now, at this point that we're at in the United States, I think it's really hard for them to be in the military. I think it's very, very hard because – sorry about that – because a lot of people will turn around and it's just – I don't know if it's the exact right time for that.
Tone,
that's
I didn't
I
ask
feel.
You if you think that it would be hard for them, Tone. I said, do you think they should be allowed to serve in the military? I don't think they should be allowed to serve, whether it's hard or not. I don't believe that the military is a social experiment. So what do you think?
I don't think it is either, but what the military is it's a group of countrymen that serve. And if there's people like that in the country, just like there's three Navy SEALs right now that are transgender.
No, they became transgenders after they served as Navy SEALs. I saw that report also, and I did look up on that. I was like, really? Were there really Navy SEALs that were transgenders? And I looked up.
They became
transgenders afterwards.
I know. I never said that they were while they were in, because obviously we're still
talking
about that.
I apologize.
Yeah, they're not allowed in the military. But the Navy SEAL said, anybody who thinks that transgender can't serve, why don't you talk to him face to face and he'll beat the living shit out of you? And then he'll say,
you're missing my point. No, they became transgender after they served. After they served, they became transgenders.
Okay,
what I'm trying to say is they became nuts after they got out. They went cuckoo after they got out.
But first off, this is the thing that I say. I served in the military. I served in a time when homosexuality wasn't allowed to have open serve. And when I served, I knew guys that were homosexual that nobody really cared about. I was an infantryman. That's one of the toughest jobs you can choose in the military. And I say when people who haven't served are now telling people who live in the same country that they can't surf because they find it weird. Too bad. 100 years ago, not even 60 years ago, black people weren't allowed to serve in the Marine Corps. I mean, it's just like that. It takes a little while for things to change. Do you think black people should be able to serve in the Marine Corps? I bet you 100 years ago you'd be saying, no, that's ridiculous.
No. I believe black people are, listen, they are, a black man is a black man and a black woman is a black woman. Okay, just because of skin color, but you're trying to change the gender of someone. If someone's telling me that
I'm born as a man
and I say I want to be a woman, there's something wrong with that individual in the head. They are nuts. You know what I mean? I mean,
but
if someone says I'm black, they're not nuts because they are born black and that's who they are. You know, you can't change skin color versus gender. Should not be anywhere near, and that's just like these gay people, gay rights. They should never, ever should the gay movement be compared to the civil rights movement. Because gay is a choice, Tone. Gay is a choice. If you want to be gay, you're not born gay. You're not born gay.
That's your opinion. And that's
it's a fact, Tone. You're not born gay, brother.
Listen, when you say fact, all you're saying is I really, really, really believe that because that's not a fact.
It's a fact that you're not born gay. You're born a man and you're born a woman.
Not a fact.
Fact. It is
a,
so how
no,
many genders are there, Tone? A couple weeks ago I asked you how many genders are there and you said there's two. So you're telling, now
I
you're going to backtrack that statement?
No, you are confused, and that's what the problem is. I've never said anything else besides that I know of two genders. That's what I've said, exactly what I'm sticking to. And I'm sticking to Americans, whether they want to be a man or a woman is an individual's choice. Now the Republican Party used to be getting out of your life. Now you're in your bathroom, your bedroom. You can't fart without a Republican trying to tell you that you should be doing this your own the way that they believe. You know what? Worry about yourself. You make a show constantly about everybody else. You've got to worry about yourself. That's what's wrong with America. That and we're 27th in education.
Individual freedom. Is that what you're talking about? Individual liberty, individual freedom?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how are you going to define that? Because I don't want to say yes, and then all of a sudden you define
it.
I
understand, Tone. I'm going to bring another caller on here who may disagree with you or agree with you. However, I do. Before I bring the next caller, hang on, Tone. Before I bring the next caller on who may want to debate with you on this, I just want to say best regards to a story that we covered a few weeks ago. Charlie Gard, the child that died. In England, that was 1 year old, that died. He had a rare disease, and he died because the hospital wouldn't allow the parents to send him over to the United States to a New York doctor who had an experimental drug that could save this child's life. Okay, so Charlie Ward, the child that passed away this past week, I know he's in heaven, and he's gone. It's very sad. It's very sad that's socialism, Tone, right there. I'm just directing that to you. That's socialized medicine right there in England. That made a decision for the parents that they should not have made. Those parents were not even allowed to watch their child die, and that's disgusting. Socialism does not work. Socialism is Adolf Hitler, folks. It's Stalin. Okay? Socialism cannot work in this country. And that's what our medical system and our healthcare system is gearing up to be. Guess what? If you're 85 years out there and 85 years old out there, folks, and the socialist medicine thinks that you're sick and you're unrepairable and you should not live, guess what? You die, according to socialized medicine. Read Obamacare.
And according,
read the law.
To the medicine that we had 10 years ago, if you weren't able to pay for your stuff and didn't have medical insurance, you died.
That's not true, because you could always walk into an emergency room
Absolutely
and be treated.
True.
You could always walk into an emergency room in this country and be treated.
Yeah, they could give,
that's not
they
true.
Could give you service. They could, yes, Joseph, you're stating something which is called a rouge. Yes, it is true that they will treat you when you walk in there. Is it not true if you don't have medical insurance and how many Americans have died in the last 30 years? You're talking about families that have actually watched their family members die because they couldn't get good treatment because they didn't have medical insurance. You're going to tell me that because you don't have medical insurance, you get the same treatment?
No, of course not. Of course not, Tone. We know money buys,
you
know.
So America has killed a lot of people because of that thing that you talk about all the time, right? Money. So don't make it sound like
we have a perfect system. Change your subject, Tone. We're talking about socialized medicine in England right now that made the decision for a little baby
die. I'm talking about American, and you're talking about American, which you're comparing it to. And you're taking one step.
I am. I'm comparing it to the system that we're assimilating to. You're right. I'm comparing it to a system that we're going to. Do you want death panels? You want death panels, Tone, where people have where there's going to be people choosing whether or not you live or die?
Did I, for the 15th time, no. But I do want people who have been in 9/11 to get medical help where they've been denied in the United States. I want the people who have been in these serious injuries. I want to have people who have served in our military that don't have to be on welfare. I want people that have to have a lot of other. Okay, so our system is flawed. If you bring up one instance of a socialist government, and that's what you're going to base your whole belief on, that is called an argument.
Socialism never works, Tone. Tone, we'll get back to that conversation. I've got a caller that's been waiting. Tone, we'll get back to that argument because I will prove you wrong. Caller 336, this could be Leroy Dickinson. Go ahead. Leroy, how you doing?
We're doing all right. Touch base.
And Tone remains unmuted. I don't
that's
mute
fine.
Callers. So
I'm driving,
he's
I'm driving down
you.
The road right
Go
now,
ahead.
So my train of thought's a little slower. But socialism, actually, both of y'all are wrong. It works fine for a little while. And then as the rich just keep getting richer, the top 1%, everybody else just keeps getting poorer. Look at Venezuela, for example. There's plenty of countries like that. It's great for a little while, but in the 100, 200 years, that's it. The country's over.
I see what Leroy's saying. I kind of agree with it. I didn't say it was working 100%, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that can be done in the healthcare system, whether it's a socialist or democratic or Republican, we are, whatever. There's things that can be done to fix it worldwide. There definitely is. But it all comes down to the dollar bill again, what it costs to do this or do that. And that's what it is. Now, touching off on the gays and transgenders in military, I don't like that idea simply just because, sort of like Tom said too, we're not ready for that. They're not ready for that simply because all these flamboyant gay and transgender people nowadays, what they're doing, they're out throwing it in everyone's face, wanting to change all the rules to appease to them. As soon as they get in the military, then we want to wear dresses and change the laws. And if they can't wear the dress, they're going to be suing the military, or they're going to be suing the other guy who says he doesn't like him because he's a queer or something. You know, get over yourselves first. We're all born male or female. If you were to go out and kill somebody and leave DNA evidence on the scene, and they've got that DNA, they're going to say, oh, this was a male or a female. They're not going to be able to say, oh, it's a male that chopped off his wanker and became a girl later on in life. They're going to be looking for a man. There's two sexes, male and female. Make your mind up which one you are. What you do on the outside is totally up to freaking you. But what you are is what you are, and it is a choice, I believe, you make throughout your life to be gay. Nobody is born gay. Nobody is born transgender, nobody else, because if you was left alone in the woods, completely alone with the opposite sex, away from society, away from your freaking Facebook for 10 damn minutes, you would find the other sex attractive and you would mate, because it's all pre-programmed in us from day one when we're born. I gotta go through the drive-thru door of my lunch. You guys have fun. I'm gonna mute myself.
All right,
so
go ahead, Tone.
Right
Tone, what do you gotta say, brother?
Well, I understand what you and Leroy are saying, but obviously it always cracks me up when people put these scenarios in, and Malakon's very, very is known for that, where you turn around and say, if you were to do this, like he talked about one time, I'll give an example of Malakon to the example that he gave about with somebody on an island. Malakon says that.
And by the way, John, you're talking about a former guest on this show. You're talking about Malakon, who usually calls in. And I think he's on the line tonight, actually. So you're talking about a former guest. So go ahead. Go ahead, Tone.
Okay. They put a scenario of Malakon says that he went to a daycare center and he got children, and children share. If you starve children, they'll share compared to a human man who will not share. And blah, 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 blah. Okay. These scenarios, he says he actually did that. If you ever went into a child's daycare and started starving children and seeing if they would share, he belongs in jail. And second off, I don't believe that you could, anybody's ever done a test where they put a person who they previously knew that was transgender on an island and seen if they mated with another person. That's just totally ridiculous. Never been proven. You just put a scenario that you really, really believe. Once again, really, really believe, but you say it's fact.
You don't have to. It's pre-programmed in our DNA.
Okay, that's great.
Let him finish, Leroy.
Leroy, can I just ask you a question really quick?
I'm in the draft. We're getting ready to order, but I'll listen.
Tell me when you decided to be straight.
After listening to you.
All right, give him a minute, because he is on the road. He's listening on the radio. So give him a minute, Tom, but your question is.
How about you, Joseph? Because I know that it's going to take him a little while to think of some kind of sarcastic answer because he never really chose.
I don't have to think about it, Tone. I was born straight. I was born as a man.
You were born?
I was born as a man, and I knew that growing up, and I felt it growing up as a man. When I went into puberty, I already knew that. I mean, when growing up as the age of five, let me finish my answer. When I was 5 years old, I thought the girl in the corner was cute. I didn't think the little boy in the corner was cute. Okay? And when I was going to gym class, when I was 7 years old in gym class, I was like hitting on the little girls in the corner. I wasn't hitting on the little boys. Okay, so I knew already from. Go ahead, Don.
Nobody's ever saying it's a choice to be straight. You're saying it's a choice to be transgender. Totally different.
No. You said it was a choice to be gay, and I said, how can you make that choice when people are born a certain way? Telling me that it's instinctive in you, and you were born that way, so you never made a choice whether you were gay or straight. But you're mean to tell me, somebody that you can't actually pinpoint with no proof, you're going to tell me that person made a choice.
Leroy, time out. Let me make a point
in
here.
I mean, come on.
Does someone? Well, you're going through the drive-thru. I didn't know you were ready to talk yet.
I'm done.
Quiet for a minute, please. All right, then just eat your food then. Listen. All right, listen, check this out. All
okay,
right,
goodbye.
When I was born, you're right, I make decisions. But however, what I'm trying to say is this, okay, is that when I was a little boy, it became natural for me to be who I was as a little boy and then grow up to be a man. Now, do I choose to become a criminal? Or is that going to be the next thing? I choose to become a criminal, and criminals are born that way. So therefore, rapists are born that way. So therefore, they should be let go. I mean, where does this stop? Where does it end, Tone?
This is opening the
devil's door.
That's a trivia point, and it's not the devil's door. That's the devil's door is whenever you don't understand something. That's where the limit of education goes to with a religious point of view. When you don't understand something, it's automatically the devil. If somebody says something to you that you don't agree with, it's the devil. When in doubt, you use the devil. Well, you know what? In the real world, with people living in a common reality, we don't have that default answer because it's a ridiculous, stupid, superstitious answer. Okay? If you really think the devil is manipulating every little thing, then you know what? Your false god never gave anybody free will. So stop with that devil nonsense. Let's talk about the logical, real world that we all commonly live in.
Leroy hung up on me. I wanted to ask him a question, but he said he was going through the drive-thru at the time. That's why I told him be quiet and just hang on. Go ahead and finish your food. But he hung up. You see, this is another nature of man. You know, we become angry at each other over nothing. You know, Leroy maybe still be in the chat room. Let me say, he's still in the chat room. And I hope he's listening. All I meant was, it doesn't matter. I don't need to apologize. I mean, if we're going to become offended over me saying, be quiet for a second. But anyway, I'd like to bring Dr. Peter Ventura into the conversation, if you don't mind, Tone. And then we got Malachon. Malachon just pressed number one.
Hey, Malachon, I like. Peter Ventura is nothing but a false cult leader and, like, even last time, if you listen to the whole thing that we even talked about, he proved my point like 5 or 6 times, and he had nothing to say about it, and then he lost his temper. So I don't understand the
point of
Peter Ventura.
I understand. He did, but he is a part of the program. So I've got a private caller and then Melicon, and then maybe we'll bring Dr. Ventura on. And private caller, go ahead. Private caller, is this Mike?
Hi, this is Mike from Wisconsin.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Tone. Hello, everybody. Very interesting show tonight. It's I know it's a subject that it's kind of squeaky, if you know what I mean.
For those of you out there, Mike is on an oxygen machine right now. He's not doing well in his health, but he took the time out tonight. Hey, he's a supporter of the program. Kudos to him. So be patient with him. So he's on an oxygen machine. He's calling, I think, from a hospital, actually. So go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm calling from my $3,000 a night room. And,
you should have a flat screen TV and waitresses and mini skirts. I mean, for goodness sake, you should have slot machines in there, Mike. Come on, man, $3,000 a night.
well, they just to say, you know, I came in here last Friday, and since then, they have taken 3 MRIs of my legs. At least half a dozen or more X-rays of each side of my chest and my back. And these MRIs are about $4,000 a piece. And the X-rays are about $1,500. And they still don't know anything more. They still don't know anything more than
nothing.
When I came in.
They know nothing. They know nothing. Unreal. Unreal.
Sorry, Mike.
And I'm typing the people that hang up, Leroy, and I saw two other callers that hung up. You got to stay on the line because if you can, because my computer starts screwing up halfway through the show and I can't get you back on. So at least you can do is just hang in there, you know, hang in there for a little while. But go ahead, Mike, before we carry on with the conversation and stick with the topic, how you doing? I mean, because, you know, we're all human here, and we wish you well. We wish you well, what's going on?
Actually, I'm not doing real bad. Having a hard time knocking out this double pneumonia. That thing doesn't want to leave. And other than that, I got to get back on my feet and be sturdy again. so I can walk like a normal person and, you know, basically taking it day by day. It's a good place to come to lose weight and not get any sleep because I lost 25 pounds in 5 days. And, yeah, they put you in bed, but they'll never leave you alone. So, you know, you're here to sleep and rest, but they're in here every hour and a half waking you up. So, anyway, I just want to say thanks for any support and everything. And,
well, thanks, Mike. and Mike, I appreciate your support. I appreciate it. I can hear it in your voice. You're grasping for air. And you're not doing well, obviously, and your health is not doing well. And, you know, people in the chat room, listen, we got Mike on the phone right now. Some of you, you know this individual personally. And you know what? Stop with the nonsense. Some people in the chat room, too. I noticed that, I mean,
hey,
you got
a
sick man. Hang on, Tone. You know, we got a sick man on the phone right now who's supporting the show, but yet someone, I'm not going to name names, wants to educate. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to hang up because, you know, you offended me. You know, knock it off. Knock it off. Come on. You know, we're all family here and we're all friends. You know, if you can't take criticism, then how shallow can you possibly be? So, you know, we all got to get along. And this man right here is having trouble breathing. And he's calling into the show to say, hey, guys, you got a good show going on tonight. Amen to Mike out in Wisconsin. And, Mike, I'll mute your number. You can press 1 again if you got the courage or heart to call back in, and I know you do. Well, we got some other callers here on the line. But, Mike, that is awesome that you show your support. That shows that's a dairy farmer, folks, a retired dairy farmer. That's the heart of a working man, you know? And no, people in the chat room, no. I appreciate you calling in while you're at work. I do. So let's not go there. Knock it off. I appreciate you calling in while you're at work, but we've got, but this is the game. This is the game. We got that. We got to have a show here. All right. And I'm talking to people in the chat room, by the way, for people that are confused about what I'm saying. I'm addressing the chat room right now. This is the way we do it. We're addressing the times in which we live in today. And these are hard times. We're going to address hard subjects, and people are going to offend people. It's not all nicey-nicey. We're at war right now. And if we're at war with ourselves, then how the hell can we win? How can we win together? You know, you got to think about that in a way. If we're at war with each other amongst family and friends, then how the hell are we going to convince the other people out there to change their tune? The liberal snowflakes, how are we going to have a revolution in this country? And I'm going to go ahead and bring Melicon on. And Tone, I'm so
Could
glad, but I'll bring Dr. Ventura on. Yeah, what's that, Tone?
Would I be able to say a prayer for Mike really quick with you?
You go ahead. That would be awesome. And Mike, go ahead. Tone wants to say a prayer for you. Hey, prayers are helpful. Go ahead.
Perfect. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hey, God, I just ask for your presence to be with Mike. I know it's a really hard time right now, and I know that Joseph's grandmother, too, got sick. And I pray that your spirit will be with both of them. And help them out with anything that they honestly need, Lord, as long as it fits your will. Amen.
Thank you, Tone. Hey, that's awesome. And you see, Tone and I battle it out, but Tone always comes back, and we have a common ground here. And Leroy Dickerson, if you want to call back in, I'll give you 5 minutes to talk without interruption. Without interruption. All right? So, but you got to remember, you know, we're trying to do a show here, and, you know, I appreciate you calling in while you're going through a drive-thru and everything, and I was just trying to let you go ahead and order your food. and go ahead and eat it without having to talk. You know, and that's all I was trying to do. That's why I told you, go ahead and eat your food. Call back in, you know, because he said he was going through a drive-thru, and we were getting a lot of background noise from you. So that's the only reason why I said that. So, you know, I apologize if you took it the wrong way. But call back in if you can, and I promise I'll give you as much time as you want. Before I get to Malachon, I've got, let's see, Malachon's been waiting for 44 minutes. It says he's been on the line for 45, and then I've got this one for 59, so I got to go with the best, the longest first. And then, Malachon, you will get a say tonight. Don't hang up, brother. Don't hang up. Go ahead, Big Banker. You're first. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. I've been on hold here for so long after pressing one. Come on.
I've got to address everybody.
I'm only kidding. Hey, Tone, you're doing well. Thank you very much, and thank you for saying a prayer for my brother. Thank you very much.
Of course, well. Banker. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on a few things that Joe talked about tonight, and then we'll let the show roll on. You know, you talked about eating before, and, you know, you are what you can assimilate, not what you consume. If you can't assimilate the food that you take into your mouth, then it's not going to do you any good. As I said before, most of America is literally full of crap, and the first thing they need to do is clean out their digestive system. Since the beginning of time, given years in between, a few years in between, we've been at war, we've been thinking about war, and so have other countries with other countries. And if we can't go to war with them, we'll give the countries money to go to war with them, because war is big money, big business, and it keeps us all befuddled about what they really want to do. Talked about DNA. You know, if you have half a glass of water and half a glass of whiskey and you mix them together, what do you get? You get half a glass of whiskey and half a glass of water. And that, I believe that holds true with DNA and RNA. Mankind thinks we're so smart, we know jack shit. Since the beginning of time, if you don't think that there has been any hanky-panky between cousins and wives and husbands and relatives and everything, so the DNA is all messed up. And we think we got DNA down pat now, and in 50, 60, 100 years, we'll find out we're all wrong. We're all wrong, and you know what? We got to rethink, because they just found out that Einstein is wrong. To grow a plant, to start a plant, all you really need is nitrogen. But then you need phosphorus and potassium. That's called NPK. That will grow a plant. It won't grow a productive, healthy plant, but it will grow a plant. You need the other minerals, trace minerals, and everything else to grow an organic one that's proper for its species. Tobacco, where you live, sucks all the nitrogen right out of the ground. So with no nitrogen, you're not even going to get a plant to sprout or anything like that. Socialized medicine you were talking about. It's good treatment. It's treating a disease that they will never cure it, because they want you coming back and back and back. Because today's allopathy medicine, I'm not knocking it, but what I'm saying, listen to your doctor, but search out other avenues, because he only knows two things, kill and cut. That's what they know. They don't know anything about curing. They don't know how. It's not in their book, and they're not allowed to cure anything. They'll go to jail. X-rays are cheap. Because they're going to get you down the road if
background.
You have too many, because they'll kill you too.
Background, please. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Background noise, somebody. And that was what happened with Leroy. He was going through the drive-thru, and there was background noise. That's why I said go ahead and eat your dinner, Leroy. But hopefully Leroy can contribute before the end of the show again, because he did have some interesting points about the transgender population thing, and computer's locking up on me, and that's what I warned of. That's why you gotta stay on the line, man. All right, let me. Oh Lord, I'm trying to get Malachon on.
All right, I guess I'm done for this evening. So I'll let the show ramble on and sit here and listen. Have a good night, everybody. Nice hearing your tone, like I said, and thank you very much again for that prayer.
So, of course, have a great day.
Tone, it's going to be your floor, because my computer has locked up as I predict. That's why I told Leroy, stay on the line, and everyone stay on the line, but people don't want to listen, and sure enough, my computer has locked up. And see, people don't listen. And I apologize, Malakon. I'm going to try to connect Malakon right now. I'm going to try to override this, get back into the studio here somehow. And as soon as I click on his number.
Like Malakon, then?
Well, you know, I got a family of computer experts, but I got a computer that works like crap. You know, I got the best computer monitor money can buy. And right now I'm looking at a white screen. That's what I'm looking at, a white screen. And it says Blog Talk Mozilla Firefox, not
responding. Give it time, it'll come back.
That's what it says. Give it time, it'll
come
back. Yes.
Listen, Blog Talk's got so much crap on their page. They got so much crap going on when you hit their page. It's a wonder that any computer can run.
But the point of it is what I'm trying to say. I tell people, don't hang up because you're going to screw up the call lines, you know. You know, stop, you know, act, you know, and I wanted to call Dr. Ventura. I got nothing. I got nothing. Malakon, I know you're there waiting, brother. I know you are, and
hey,
I know you're on the phone line right now.
This is Malakon Jr. calling from the People's Revolution.
Hey, okay, I did
y'all
get
have
you.
A wonderful
I got
day.
All right, knock it off, guys, because I don't know what's going on here. My computer's messing up, so please, come on. I don't know what's going on. Tone, talk away, or BitBanker, talk away, and I'll try to figure this computer program out and try to figure it out. I've got 20 callers on the line. I've got 3 that want to get in, but Malakon is next, and this is my computer messing up on me, you know? And,
okay,
and it started with me, you know, arguing with my with people. You know, over nonsense. But go ahead, Tone. The floor is yours.
Okay, so guys, listen up. Since the starting of America, and I'm just talking about America, not even the starting of time, but since the starting of America, we started off with our military only allowing white men to serve, and they served very well. And then they started talking about having black people in the military. Then in the Civil War, we finally allowed black people to serve in the military. And then they started talking about allowing women in the military. All these were taboos. People were coming out with crazy ideas at the time. Just 20 years ago, people were saying we can't have gays serving in the military. We are constantly evolving. And people are scared of change. And change is scary, people. Trust me. Do you think that I don't feel weird when I think about change, too? We all do. But as Americans, we have to suck it up. So what if somebody – I don't understand the big deal, especially when you're not in the military, to sit there and say, oh, I don't want somebody serving in my military protecting my life and my freedom because I find it weird. And I find that either you're born straighter or you're born with this gender. I don't know about genders at all. That's the reason why I keep telling you I don't know. But if somebody else identifies as that, I can care less. It doesn't affect me. It's not hurting the world. And people might say it's hurting the world because children have to see it. I'm sorry. If you have to talk to your children about the real things that are going on in this world and you fear that, I apologize. Maybe you shouldn't have children. Stop trying to be so protective in this world. Stop being the stereotype scared white man of everything. God damn, dude.
All right, I got Malakon. I got Malakon. I got Malakon. He's been waiting. Malakon, go ahead. You're there, brother. Go ahead. You're live.
Thank you so much, my revolutionary brother, Joe Gibson.
We can hear you. We can hear you. We got you. Thank you so much for waiting. And thank you for being patient. All right, the floor is yours, my friend. Go ahead.
I know y'all love my patience and discipline, and I have to have it to show that I'm worthy. Many was called, but only one was chosen. But I want to do a little house cleaning here because I've often said that there is no third party of ventriloquist and interpreter. But yet you have the usual suspects inside your sector. I could say Tone, Dr. Ventura, or I can say Big Ben. The rhetoric and the rambling as they throw their little backhand slap against the People's Revolution. See, now here's where you done messed up. Because for Tone, I said, and go back in the archives, that you can take babies. I never said the word children. And here's where I say there's no third party of ventriloquism. You can't take my entry You can't take my process of bringing the revolution to the people and then use it and use your narrative to defeat what I said. I never said the word children. I said take babies with a bottle in a room or a gym, black, Mexican, or white, a bottle. I guarantee you that those babies, they will share that bottle no matter which one gets to it until the milk is gone. And then once the milk is gone, they'll look around for some more together. Now,
did you do that study?
That's different than what Tone would try to interact and jump in and say, well, he's wrong, and say children. See, children, once they go to the church, mosque, and synagogue, and once they go to school, they're brainwashed. They're done. You can't think of caring, sharing, and loving. This is why I say if you lie, you're still...
I agree on that. You're right.
If you lie, you're still, you're killed. So you can't demonstrate no beneficence or how we are going to get some pensioners if you come out with an out-and-out lie about the People's Revolution. And then the second thing is that the good doctor and everybody, you know, you say, well, look, well, Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior and everybody else go to hell. Now, if you don't know how insane that is, I won't tell you, but I'll bring it to the point of the mother, father, and child, the real Holy Trinity. When you make just the concept of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you done authorize Adam and Steve and Mary and Eve through your religion. And I'll say it again. When you authorize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, what you've cleverly done is you wiped out of her story and put his story as that this guy, this omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent person that none of you have ever seen, but you could claim, well, if God says this, and this is where it is, or else everybody's going to hell. You don't know how insane that is.
But Malachon, let me interrupt you, Malachon. There's obviously a good and a bad. Whatever you call good is God. Whatever you call bad is a devil. You have to admit there's a negative and there's a positive. So what do
okay.
we call
that
them, Malachon?
Okay. Now, I'm not going to go into what your beliefs, because I'm not responsible for what your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings, or beliefs. I'm only responsible for what you know. And what I know is that the deification of Mother Goddess as a live, living, breathing deity, that's where you have half a brain. That's where you're unbalanced, because in the philosophical diagram of the laws of opposites, it's boy, girl, yin, yang, up, down, hot, cold, me, you, boyfriend, girlfriend, man, woman, husband, wife, but everybody, including women. Women are guilty of this, too, under the patriarch of the Masonic order.
Malachon, is there a good and is there a bad? And what do we call that good and bad? That's my question.
You call it as recorded in your book, and I gave you the paraphrase of the parable last week, that there is not one. Your books now, y'all say you love them. Don't blame it on me. Now, your books say there's not none in the time of the revelation when kill or be killed is on the ground. Nobody, Jews and Gentiles, all under selfish, unconditional love. You have to come in unconditional, selfless love. If you with the creator, y'all are got this thing upside down because you want someone to be with your tribe. And if somebody's not with your gang, then they're hell bent. But you have totally wiped out the concept of the creator and Mother Earth. Remember, it says it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, Mother Universe, Mother Uterus, Mother Africa. All that is what produces the sustenance.
But wait a second,
Malachon,
hang on. People are saying, listen, like one person in the chat room saying, you know, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. A good man. We're arguing about good and bad. Tone's still on the line. There's a good and there's a bad, obviously. The forces between good and evil. What do we call them, Malachon? What is good?
Okay.
How can we have a revolution if we don't understand what good and what bad is?
Okay. Now, that's a European concept and construct. A new kid on the block came out with this, God, the devil, do as I say or I'm on my way. That's a new concept, and it's not even natural. The good is live and let live in one love according to what? Common law, and international law and natural law. Natural law comes from the Creator. Now, y'all's concept is that if you don't act on God and country,
Malachi,
you're
who
bad.
Is our Creator? Malachi, who is our Creator? Who is our Creator then? Who is our Creator, my friend? Who is it?
I'm a ninth grade student by social standards. There's no social, religious, or political scholar that can dare challenge me on this. And the Creator is Mother Universe, the Sun, one and only S-U-N, that none of us can look at, in concordance with the moon, the stars, and the celestial atoms, A-T-O-M-S, A-T-O-M-S.
Who
they
is
had no creation.
So where is the Father? Where is the Father, Malachi? Where is the Father in all this?
If
the
you go
to
your book.
Father.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to your books again, there was a piece of it in there. Y'all, with Tone and all your little scramblers, you know, weapons of mass distraction, you're going to say, well, when they said let us, you're going to tell me that, well, it wasn't thousands and thousands of these celestial beings that created black men and white men. Black men and white men came from the original creators on planet Earth, and I'm telling you, they were damn near black as a skillet, and they had both Gentiles, men and women, right? They were called amorphodites. That's one thing when they said, let us make man. Now, here's where y'all are with the transistor stuff.
You're
I want to bring it fast
Genesis
forward.
1:26 wrong.
No, no,
that's
I'm not quoting nothing. No. No interpreter, no third party, no ventriloquist.
Give him 1 or 2 minutes to explain himself, Tone, and then you could jump in. And then I want everyone else to jump in. Hang on, guys, hang on. Malachi, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to explain yourself, and then Tone can jump in. Okay. But listen, we all believe in something. There is a higher power out there. We didn't come from a fish. We didn't come from a monkey. We didn't come from a piece of grass, okay? So we're going to allow Malachi to talk here, and then Tone, and then if someone else wants to jump in, that's what we're going to do. Go ahead, Malachi. The floor is yours, uninterrupted, for 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, listen. I don't give a damn about a Hebrew Israelite, more Muslim, or Christian with your Bible, Torah, and the Quran. The books of the dead that covered up her story and hid it. They didn't do it like, well, it's black people versus white people. No. That's just a surface thing to keep y'all divided from the truth. I'm opening up Pandora's box and breaking the Da Vinci Code now. Open up Pandora's box means the truth has been hidden. The Da Vinci Code is once you go look for yourself. Don't believe a damn thing that I said. Don't believe nothing I said. But do know this, that when you put the concept out of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's the unforgivable sin. It's not about what white people did to blacks and what blacks want to do to whites. That's just the surface cardinal sin of conquer divide. Figures don't lie and lies don't figure. It's a mathematical equation. When you're with the creator, all you can do is add, multiply, and then we collectively come and see the great. But if you put any words, actions, and deeds, because your actions speak so loud, I can barely hear a word you're saying. I love God. I love Jesus. I love Allah. I love Quetzalcoatl. I love Yahweh. That's a damn lie. That's a damn lie. The proof of the matter is the actions on how we interact with each other. So all I'm saying to you right now is that we are in the revolutionary revelation where it said that everybody is a damn liar and a murderer and a thief. I didn't make that up. That's in the book that y'all say you love. But the truth of the matter is the book that's been written on how we get free, nobody has written that story. I'm the author of that story, you and me, who want the freedom, justice, and total independence. So you can't be hiding under the stolen legacy of Her Majesty's Righteous Order. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. Ladies first. Mother knows best because Father surely lied. He told a goddamn lie. And I can say that proudly and lovingly as the one and only S-U-N of the matriarch. And there are more women on the planet Earth than there are men. Next to the women, there's children and old folks. So men, black or white, are really the real minority on the planet. Real minority on the planet Earth if you lay the whole creator's Earth out. The majority is women. The second is the children and the old folks. And black men and white men, you are the minority. You have no right to dictate the policy of appropriating and allocating Mother Earth's precious, precious resources. So if you think you're a man, including me, Shaka, or Hannibal, or Barack Obama, or Hitler, you are gravely wrong because you should not have stolen the property that belongs to the mothers and it was never supposed to be separated. So the mother, father, and child is the real Holy Trinity. All the other stuff is simply uncivilized. I rest their case, and I know that we're going to have some people trying to attack like jackals and hyenas because they got to be in their comfortable setting and what they're doing.
All right, okay. Tone, and then I'll have my saying. If someone else wants to jump in, they're more than welcome. Go ahead, Tone. Take 2 or 3 minutes. I gave him about 3 minutes, actually, so you get 3 minutes. Go ahead, Tone.
Man, Malachi's a cool guy, dude. I think he's passionate on what he believes in. I don't really agree with him, but I think he's passionate. But this is the thing, guys. Check this out. We try to label good and bad. Why aren't they just good and bad? You just labeled them. Trying to add extra labels into something of good and evil and God, and then labeling that God. Check this out. You want to know about where we came from and what actually happened? When you refer to evolution, you start referring to it as we didn't come from a fish, we didn't come from a monkey, and nobody ever said that. And if you're saying that, then you don't understand evolution. And if you really want to find out about evolution, you don't ask me. I'm not a scientist. You don't ask other people. Once again, I've checked 3 museums that are in your area, Joseph. Like, people have the answers out there. And instead of asking a scientist and going over there and trying to figure it out for yourself of what the truth actually is, because theory is just a graduated thought, meaning that it's the highest level of being true as possible, because there's nothing 100% guaranteed. But there are things that we know as true. Evolution is true. That's where we come from. Religion is evolution. Look at Joseph Gibson's religion right now. It's an evolution of the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. That's all it is. It's just evolution. And if Dr. Ventura, who comes up with the watchmaker analogy, where a person's walking and they find a watch and they say, this has to be a creator, is the most ridiculous, rebunked argument that has been around since the 70s. If you're walking, the watchmaker analogy would only work if you're walking in a place made of watches and found a watch. It doesn't make any sense. There's no thought behind this. Look, if you want to know the truth about human beings, the black, white, American, Indian issue of ridiculousness is something that we made up, and it's a recent issue. We're all human beings. And the belief of this that we just suddenly appeared 6,000 years ago, God showed himself to a whole bunch of people, and then those people believed, well, lucky them, they got to see him. And then all of a sudden, God disappears and lives a book for everybody to interpret. And what did he do? He just left? If God is real and your religion is real and all this stuff that you believe is real, ask one thing. And all I ask is one thing. Have one amputee grow its limb back. One. Pray for one and it'll happen. Pray for world hunger. But no, unfortunately, there's no Christian that ever believed that. Okay. There's no religion that ever did that, I guess. Because wherever there's two, that's where God answers. But no, nobody's ever grown back their limb. Nobody goes and checks out the evolutionary stuff at a museum. Nobody does the real research. They just come up with these asinine things to fit their own logic. Well, let me tell you something. Too bad. Your logic isn't true. But Joseph Gibson, I'll be listening on the radio. Man, God bless you. You're an amazing man, and God bless your family, okay? And Malachi, same way.
Well, thank you very much, Tone. I appreciate that, Tone. And listen, on the next show, I promise I will put all this into answer very simply, not like Dr. Ventura, but I'm going to try within the next 5 minutes, and then I'm going to allow anyone else who wants to challenge me on what I have to say right now. You know, misplaced shame is very simply put in 2 Timothy 1:8 in your Bible if you want to read it or look at it. Do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but take your share of suffering for the gospel and the power of God. You know, it's very simple to understand. You know, the battling the unbelief and misplaced shame, you know, battling unbelief and saying, look, man hasn't discovered anything. Man hasn't discovered that. Man is still man. So give me 5 minutes of your time, please, and I'll answer some of your questions on that. And then on the next show, maybe you can give me 20 minutes for an opening, and I will surely bring you to the Bible, and I will surely make you understand that there is a God out there, and through my own testimony, even. And I'm not Dr. Ventura. I'm not going to and bore you to death. All right? Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. All of us have the gift of God. All of us do. We're created within God's image. There is a creator out there, whether you like it or not. We didn't come from a fish. We didn't come from a blade of grass. We didn't come from a turtle. We didn't evolve from a monkey. Monkeys still have hair. Why didn't they evolve then? Were they left behind? All right, so knock it off with the evolution nonsense. And Darwin's theory, Darwin was an accountant. He had no scientific experience whatsoever. He wrote a book that made people say, wow, look how smart he is. And that was in uncivilized time and times that where people were not that educated and not of the information world that we have at our fingertips today. All right. Through laying of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of intimidation, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. We all have love and self-control. We can admit that. Do not be ashamed then of testifying to your Lord. Do not be ashamed of him, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel and the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in the virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago. We all cannot deny that Jesus walked this earth. It's documented. He did. He was here. Whether you deny it or not, he was here. Romans kept very accurate records, okay, of every crucifixion, everything, every murder, every death penalty. The Romans, it was the Roman Empire. Just think of America and all its libraries, how we document what happens today. And now is manifest through the appearing of our Lord and Savior, and who abolished death, brought life, immorality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. Therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted in me. All right, the definition and causes of shame, you need to understand, you really do. I've studied theology for many years, and this is from my own notes. You know, let's start with a dictionary definition of shame. Shame is the painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt or shortcoming or improperity. Am I right or wrong? Is that not what shame is? Let me illustrate to you each of those causes. First, the cause of guilt. Suppose you act against your conscience and withhold information on your tax returns. But just do that, for instance. For a couple of years, you feel nothing because it has been put out of your mind and you weren't caught. Then you are called to an account by the IRS, and it becomes public knowledge that you lied and you stole. Your guilt is known now in the light of public censure. You feel the pain of shame, don't you? Or do you resist? Or take the cause of shortcoming in the Olympics. Suppose you come from a little country where you are quite good in the 3,000-meter race. Then you compete before thousands of people in, say, for instance, Seoul, South Korea. Seoul's been in the news lately, because it could be destroyed by North Korea in a matter of minutes by the artillery. But anyway, Seoul, a 1 million population city. And the competition is so tough that by the time the last lap comes, you are a whole lap behind everyone else, and you must keep running all by yourself while everyone watches. There's no guilt here, but the humiliation and shame could be intense. Or take the case, take the cause of improperity. You are invited to a party, and you find out when you get there that you're dressed all wrong. Again, no evil or guilt, just a social blunder. That makes you feel foolish or embarrassed, doesn't it? What does that mean, folks? Well-placed versus misplaced shame. One of the things that jumps right at you, definition of shame, is that there is some shame that is justified and some that isn't. There are some situations where shame is exactly what we should feel, and there are some situations where we shouldn't. Most people would say that the liar ought to be ashamed, and most people would probably say that the long-distance runner who gave it his best shot ought not to feel ashamed. Disappointment would be healthy, but not shame, right? Let me illustrate you from Scripture. And the Bible, that some of us, you know, try to say, man wrote that book, and, you know, it's not real. But it applies to our everyday life, whether you like it or not. There's two kinds of shame. The Bible makes very clear that there is a shame we ought to have and a shame we ought not to have. I'm going to call the one misplaced shame and the other kind well-placed shame. Now listen up, folks, and I'll give you your say, I promise. Misplaced shame, the kind we ought not to have, is the shame you feel when there is no good reason to feel it. Biblically, that means the thing you feel ashamed of is not dishonoring to God, or that is dishonoring to God, but you didn't have a hand in it. In other words, misplaced shame is shame for something that's good, something that doesn't dishonor God, or it's shame for something but which you didn't have any sinful hand in. That's the shame kind of shame we ought to have. Well placed shame, the kind you ought to have is the shame you feel when there isn't good reason to feel it. Biblically, that means we feel ashamed of something because our involvement in it was dishonoring to God or our conscience. You know? Have we ever told a lie and felt guilty for telling that lie but tried to justify it? We ought to feel shame when we have a hand in bringing dishonor upon God by our attitudes or actions. I want to be sure you see how important God is in this distinction in between misplaced shame and well-placed shame. And that's what I feel tonight that we have really examined on this show. You know, a lot of us have an answer to a revolution where we can solve all the world's problems. I just want to talk to you about misplaced shame real quick, and I'm not going to be long, I promise. In 2 Timothy 1:8, do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but take your share of suffering for the gospel and the power of God. What does that mean to you, what I just read? What does that mean, folks? What this text says is that if you feel shame for testifying about Jesus, and if you feel he's not real and you don't believe in him and you're ashamed of him because maybe you think he's forgotten about you, you have misplaced your shame. We ought not to feel shame for this. Christ is honored when we speak well of him, and he is dishonored by fearful silence. That means don't stay quiet. So it is not a shameful thing to testify, but a shameful thing not to do. Secondly, the text that if you feel shame that a friend of yours is in trouble, in this case, prison, for Jesus' sake, then your shame is misplaced. The world may see this as a sign of weakness and defeat, but Christians know better. God is honored by the courage of his servants to go to prison for his name. We ought not to feel shame that we are associated with something that honors God in this way, no matter how much scorn the world heaps on. Whoever is ashamed of me, of my words, and the adulterous and sinful generation of him, will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. God is coming back. The Lord Jesus will return. He will come back. No matter what you believe, no matter what you have to say, we have a creator, and he's going to come back. The world's going to destroy itself. There's never going to be peace. Peace, peace, peace. And the Bible talks about that, and sudden destruction comes upon them. How many times have we, even with our own families, tried to have peace? And we can't have peace, can we? We have sudden destruction come upon us, don't we? How many times have I asked Joe from Sebastian, Florida, the grandfather of mine, remain on this show to the end, and he hangs up when things don't interest him. Peace, peace, peace. How many times have I asked people on this show to unite? And we haven't. Friends, even Melikon, who is my friend, and he believes in a different revolution. But yet, I'm a voice for him on this show. But together, we can all solve a lot of problems, but the only problem that's going to be solved in the end is when the Lord returns. And whether you believe it or not, God is coming back. And I would hate to see my family members, my friends, be left behind in a 7-year tribulation. Maybe you don't believe that, Melikon. Maybe you believe in Mother Earth, like you said. Listen, there are aspects to your belief and what you believe in that have validity. I admit that. I've studied the two Babylons. I did. I spent many years locked up. That's why I'm able to talk like this now. Because I saw suffering and I saw death. I survived 2 murder attempts on my life. The second time, I almost saw death come to me. Whether you believe me or not, I don't care. Because I know what I saw and I know what I felt. I saw the blood come from my body. I would hate to see my family members not understand the power of goodness and God. Whatever you want to call God. No, you're not going to call God a pancake. You didn't see Mary in a tree. Mary's not going to save you. The woman is not going to save you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is going to save you. The Trinity, the Godhead, is going to save you. And many people don't understand the Bible. I don't understand it. You want to know why you don't understand it? Because you don't have peace in your heart. You have too much going on in your life. Get locked up in a prison cell in a concrete box with nothing but 4 walls and 32 center blocks going sideways and 16 center blocks going down. Yeah, I counted them. How much time I had. Okay? And you want to look at the other wall? You want to count the center blocks on the toilet wall? Yeah, I counted them. Because that's how much time I had. And then I had one book with me called the Holy Bible. And I read it. I didn't understand it. But then I reached out to people who were able to understand it and teach me about it. The stars are not going to save you. If you're a Leo, you're a Sagittarius, you're a Taurus, who gives a damn? So that's not going to save you in the end. The fact of the matter is history proves itself to be true. Israel became a country again in the year 1948 as prophesied in the Bible. Read the Bible. It will tell you. We know that the King James Version was printed in the year 1611. Then how the hell did that version know in the year 1948 Israel would become a nation again? Read Matthew 24. It tells you Israel becomes a nation again. Poof! The only nation in the world that has been destroyed all of a sudden becomes a country again. And in the year 1967, every single Muslim country attacks Israel. And Israel wins. That tiny little country. So everyone is so focused on those damn Jews, aren't we? That tiny little country has so much focus on it. Why? If God is fake, then why the hell is the entire world focused on the Middle East? Why? Why are we invading Iraq? Why is Saddam, well, used to be Saddam, invading Kuwait? Why is Egypt in turmoil? Cairo? Why? Why? Why is the Middle East so important? You've got Russia with so many damn nuclear weapons, it could destroy the world. You've got the United States with so many damn nuclear weapons, we could destroy each other forever. The Middle East is so damn important. That tiny little country, Israel, is so important to everybody. Why? Why if God isn't real, if God doesn't exist, then why the hell is Israel so important? And the Bible talks about Israel. The Bible is founded with Israel, the Garden of Eden. And listen, I don't care if you think Ethiopia is Israel. I don't care. The fact of the matter, Israel is where it is, and that's Israel. I know many people are disagreeing with me out here tonight. I'm getting messages on Facebook right now. I know even some of the callers, but I appreciate you listening to what I have to say. But you know what? I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. We are a worldwide radio show. It's important. And I really do cherish the callers that called in tonight. Malakon, you always have a voice on this radio network, and you know we're a popular network. We're number one on Blog Talk tonight. Number one. Mike from Wisconsin, sick, sick, in the hospital. Life-threatening pneumonia, and he still calls into this show. What does that tell you, folks? How important this show is to some people. Tone, who disagrees with me on 99% of the topics, and even all the other callers, but he still calls in. Big Banker, his contribution, Leroy Dickinson, he calls in. Deborah Lewis listens in. Elizabeth Rondo, who is so weak, wants to listen in but can't, and we need to pray for her tonight. Another supporter of the show. My friend from Nevada who listens in. He says he can't call in, but he will shortly. And that was my old friend from about a year ago who was constantly listening into the program and calling in. He's a Trump supporter, folks, so you may not, you know, but he's a supporter of the program. He's still here. He's listening, guys. Christina England listening from the country of England, listening. My friend Mitch in North Vietnam listening to the show. Worldwide, this show has grown, and I thank all of you because without you, there would be no show, and I wouldn't be able to say what I just said. So I just want everyone to know I thank you so much for your support, and please tune in to our next show. I'm going to be going on vacation on August 11th. I'll be gone. I'll try to do an on-location show. I'll try, but I can't promise. I'm going up north to probably say goodbye to my grandmother. She's not in good health, and I'm probably going to have to say goodbye to a family member. But I will try to do my best to do a show from the state of Connecticut. So, and we all face death, and we opened up the show with that. We're all going to have to face death sometime. And isn't it so special that we do a radio show talking about one of our supporters facing death? Actually, two. Mike, live on the program, could be facing death. He's in bad health. We need to pray. And that goes for everyone. Tone, my several guests, Malakon, maybe you have family members who will face death, and you want to have something said about your family on this show. Maybe you yourself one day. You said you're in your 60s, my friend. You've been around the block several times. So you know what's going on, my friend. You know what's up. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to tonight's show. It was a powerful show. As always, we talk about what's important. And I thank everyone. And I won't play any music. I'll just end the episode. But I want to thank everyone. The next show will be on Sunday. All right. Good night, everybody. God bless. Take care.